Good morning, and for those of you who may be lost and think you're going to hear about the beaver, this is not about beaver, this is chancel drama, What Is It? And I am Lois Beckmeyer. I want to start a little bit by giving you a background, my own background as far as chancel drama is concerned. And I think that will be helpful for you as far as doing something with chancel drama yourself. I'm a graduate of Valparaiso University, and I have a bachelor's in math and Spanish, which we had heard was the most beautiful place in all the world. And knowing nothing about Washington, we decided, well, we'd apply to all the school systems up and down the West Coast. And anyone that would hire both of us together, we would go. And we ended up in Kelso, Washington, which is a very kind of a tough school district. The people are made primarily loggers and longshoremen. And teaching junior high school in that setting at that time was kind of a tough assignment for a 21-year-old. But having survived that, came back to St. Louis where I met my husband. We were married. He is a Lutheran minister, went up to the Chicago area, Southside, Park Forest, Illinois, where I was with him in the ministry for 25 years in Park Forest. He had an opportunity to come out here. Meanwhile, by the way, we had 5 children in there. And so I never really did get back into teaching too actively, except as a substitute. And anyway, he had the opportunity then to come out to Pacific Lutheran University, where he is vice president for development. When I came out here, we of course joined a Lutheran church in the Tacoma area, where we are active now. And I went back to school and got my master's degree in education and guidance and counseling at Pacific Lutheran University. I currently am working in the elementary schools as a school counselor, and which is a very interesting situation for me. Now that's my background, and you're all looking at me and saying, okay, now where's the bit about drama? Now, what I want to tell you is that I do not have a background in drama. But there was a point at which somebody needed to do something like that. I've always enjoyed kind of working with things, working with groups that made presentations, not necessarily the formal director-trained type presentations, but the skits and the that type of expression. And so when my husband was in the parish in Park Forest, we had a very active youth group. And the reason that they got active is because we had a young vicar who came to our congregation with his guitar and started playing the contemporary folk tunes. And we had gathered a group together that was unbelievable. And we were able to, through other people following in his footsteps, we were able to keep this group together and kept this contemporary folk choir. And we started touring with them. We'd go to different congregations, make 5-day tours, maybe have 10 services that we would present over a 5-day period. And finally, I took a group and I said, you know, let's work out, we'll act out some of the gospel and epistle lessons. Let's see if we can't act those out instead of just presenting them. And so the kids started doing it, and they loved it. They thought it was super. And I thought, well, you know, why wouldn't we try a full-length sermonette-type presentation? So I found a few good scripts and a few kids that were interested in working on it, and we did it. Went over really well. And pretty soon we had added this into our repertoire. And so we would go on these tours, go on these trips, present them for our congregation half a dozen times during the year. And they were really very, very well received. And so this is actually how I got involved in it. I had an interest, I wanted to do it, the kids were enthusiastic, and I have now done this over the years since we moved out into Tacoma area. I have my players group. I just call them the players. Back in Illinois, it was my Hope Lutheran players. In Tacoma, it's the Prince of Peace players. And generally, I have worked with youth group type high school kids. And so if I start talking about kids, it's just because I've primarily worked with youth groups, though I've also worked with ladies groups in the church. And they are fun to work with. But if I say kids, I don't necessarily mean kids, because there are lots of options of who you can work with, who is interested in drama. Youth groups, ladies groups, choir groups, couples clubs, any kind of group that's standing up and alive, okay, that you can work with. And that brings me to another thing, and that is that whenever I've worked with drama, I've never asked for those who are trained dramatically. As a matter of fact, I prefer if they've not had any training at all or have had little training, because those that are trained sometimes overwhelm the others in the group. I've always asked, who wants to do it? And when the hands are raised, I write down the names and we work it out. As a matter of fact, I even go so far that sometimes if I get too many volunteers and I have a particular play in mind, I'll write in extra parts in order to include everyone so that they can all be a part of it, those that want to be. I have some theories about chancel drama, and that is that the kids have to get it in their heads right away that we are not giving a performance. It's not like the school play, you're getting up front and everybody's going to applaud. This is not a performance, but it is a participation in worship. It's the same thing as the acolyte, the usher, the person that brings forward the bread and the wine, the preacher, the liturgist, the lay reader. We are participating in worship. We're helping to make worship more meaningful and more understandable to the person in the pew. And that is really primary to what I do. Always at the conclusion of a practice, before we are getting ready to actually present it to the congregation, at some point, I always have them sit down and say, what in the world are we telling the congregation with what we're doing? See, why is this important, what we're saying? So that the kids understand, or the people who are doing the dramatic presentation, understand what they are saying, what their message is, you know. Don't let them get too hooked on the words, the memorization, and all those things. And a secondary part of this is that once they get this really good feeling of, I'm giving a message, I'm helping people understand, you know, I am being a part of this total worship experience, they lose their fear of being up in front of an audience. It's like they are a part of the total group. And the fear leaves, the idea of, I'm going to forget my lines, is not there. But they go through, you know, what they are doing, and that fear disappears. And it's always amazing to me. It's almost like the Lord is with us, which is what I'm really after, okay? As far as participation is concerned, I have had tryouts for parts. You know, when I've chosen a play, have had tryouts. I don't like to do this. It's almost like competition, who's going to get the best role. What I prefer, and this is just over 15, 20 years of experience of working with it. I prefer to have everybody come in that's going to be in the play, and we sit down and we read through the play. Usually at the time that I ask, you know, who wants to be a part of it, I usually try to find a little time just to set aside when all we do is just read through the play once or twice. And just assign roles at random to anybody and let them read through. And then when I've, after that, I say, okay, I'm going to give you a piece of paper, and I want you to write down first, second, and third choice which role you like. And always with the consideration, now remember, you know, if you feel like, hey, I've never, ever done anything like this before, if you feel a little bit uncomfortable, then choose a lesser role. You know, write down a lesser role or several lesser roles. If you feel like you've got pretty good confidence, okay, you know, go for one of the bigger roles. But put down three choices, the ones you like. And that way they have an understanding of who the characters are and an idea of what they can do with them, okay? Now, when they have written down three choices, you can pretty well assign then. Now, you've had a little chance to hear what they're doing. Usually you know the people. If you're working with church groups, these aren't strangers to you, so you have a little idea of the personalities. And then you assign them. Now, you can surely give them one of their three top choices. And that way they have a feeling, well, I've had some input into this. It's just not randomly assigned, and that woman up there gave me this little short part. But they have had some part in this. And what is astounding to me, and occasionally, you know, one of the people might maybe feel, well, I got my third choice, this wasn't the greatest. But the people or the kids realize as things roll along how even the smaller roles can become very neat if they put a little something special of themselves into it. And they will feel better as it goes along that they have a neat role. Hey, this is really neat. I can do something special with it. I didn't talk about exactly what is a chancel drama. And a chancel drama, in my mind, is simply a dramatic presentation in a church setting. Now, this can be many and varied things. It can be, as I mentioned, doing the gospel and epistle lessons, something on that order. It can be a major sermon. It can be a children's program. It can be your Christmas programs. It can be anything. It can be a clown service. And by the way, if you're going to be here for a couple of weeks, some of the topics I'll be dealing with, tomorrow I'm going to be dealing with the Christmas programs, how to use drama in Christmas programs and sort of upgrade or give some new ideas into Christmas programs. On Wednesday, we will be talking about shorter and longer dramatic presentations. Mini and maxi is how I put it on the board. Next week, I will have a presentation on clowning in the church service. One on Easter and Lent, which I think is really a neat time to do chancel drama type presentations. During the Lenten season or immediately after Easter is also a good time. And the last one, I can't remember, but anyway. I think it's chancel drama as sermon. But anyway, this gives you kind of a clue as to some of the things that can be included as part of a chancel drama. Okay. I'm going to take a break here, and We're going to do a little reading of some chancel dramas to give you a chance to do a little inputting here, too. Now, what I have here, here we can start things going around. How about having it every other one? There may not be quite enough here. I made so many copies of so many things. I hadn't the foggiest idea how many people we'd have here. All right. If there's an extra copy, I'd like one too. I passed my own away.
Is there one extra there?
Yeah, there's more than
one. Okay.
All right. Now, these are just some very short dramatic presentations that could be used. One of the things I really want to mention to you is that there are various places that you can do, or various situations in which you can do chancel dramas. And you always have to pick and choose what is appropriate for your congregation or the particular setting that you're talking about. If it's a youth service or something of that kind, you can probably do something different than you would do at a very formal type service. And so I'm just trying to give you just a variety of things, and these are all very short things that we'll be looking at today. Thursday, I'll be giving you some material that is more full-time, full-length sermonette type work. These are just very short playlets or sketches. All right, I need one helper here. Who is a willing guinea pig? All right, come on up. All right, now you are going to be the man in the play, all right? And you're going to come in here. You're going to wander in. I'm going to be starting. I'll start as the MC. And you're going to ramble in and start talking with me as I'm introducing something, all right? We are the Hope Lutheran Players, and we would like to present some short dramatic sketches for your consideration. We hope that you will... excuse me, ma'am, but... We're trying to do a play here, and I would...
Oh, what kind of play?
Well, why don't you just go out in the audience and watch it?
Oh, can't you give me some idea what it's like?
Well, we're talking about love, peace, forgiveness, and generally how men should act out of love for their fellow men and for God.
Oh.
Why don't you...
Have you had any success?
Well, yes, some.
Strange.
Why?
Well, I heard about this guy once who tried the same thing, but...
But what?
Well, it didn't work out too well.
Why not?
I don't know. People just didn't seem to take to him too much.
Well, what happened?
They crucified him. Good luck.
All right. That could be something that could be done in a Lenten service as a short presentation, possibly. All right, in the right setting, could it not? All right, that's kind of a shock value type thing. And I do have a number of these short presentations. Notice that you could use quite a bit of space here in that. The person would have to come up from the back, use the front of the church, use the chancel. Don't be afraid to use the chancel. That is very important. It's the center, it's the focus. Remember that you are not giving a performance. You are participating in worship. And the people who participate, come out of the congregation, they come up front, they are a part of what is going on in the chancel. You are helping people to understand the Word of God more significantly by doing this, okay? All right, that's just a shorty. This time I'll hang on to one. By the way, I'm not going to let you keep these materials today, but near the end of the week, I will have a freebie day when you can come and pick up material. And while you're passing this out, I might mention that it is not easy to come across good dramatic material. And any of you, I see heads nodding. Okay, so some of you have been trying this. You have to pick up, you have to glob on to anything that comes your way. You grab this material and you adapt it to your use, okay? If you don't like it the way it is, you change it. And by the way, some of this material I've had for a while. I noticed immediately as we were reading through this, I haven't read through this for a while, it needs a little male-female correction. Did you notice that? Anybody into that? So, you know, change it, get it straightened out, you know. Well, you're going to have somebody who's going to be very upset.
Let him be upset.
Would have been crucified if there would have been somebody else here.
I was
going to
say, if you change it, there's going to be also people upset.
All right, now... Well, I'm not talking about scripture. In that one, where it should be changed is, generally how people should act out of love for their fellow men and God.
Well, man is mankind.
All right, we're not going to get into a male-female argument in this particular setting. But anyway, for the comfort of people who are into inclusive language, that would be something to change, okay? And also, you'll find that some of this material, although it may be only a few years old, some of the terms need to be changed, or some of the, identifiable things, if they're talking about a certain type of automobile, for example, you may need to upgrade it into a more modern type auto, into a more modern car. Or if it talks about a specific location, you know, if it starts talking about Minneapolis and you're doing it out in Washington, you probably need to change it to a local location. So, you know, juggle all of that. I do not have any problem at all in changing scripts. And you'll catch this as I go along. If I don't like the script, I mutilate it and I make it the way I want it. Because I'm directing it, I have to feel comfortable with it, I have to feel like what I'm saying is meaningful. What my group is saying has to be meaningful, has to really project the Word of God as I see it. And different people's interpretation, you know, is different. So I adapt it. But always you need to acknowledge, if possible, where the material came from. And if you have doctored it, you say adapted from. However, you still acknowledge where the source material came from, because people who write this type of material do not get paid.
If you copy it, such as in the first one here, I know it's in the second one, it's reprinted with permission, but if you copy it like this in the first one, do you have to write for permission?
All right, and I'll go into that in more detail too, but just in general, the material that I give to you is generally not going to be anything that has to be, that you need permission for. I have some material copied that we will read through, but I will not give it away to you because it cannot be used without getting formal permission for it, or unless you buy sufficient script copies from the source. And I do have
all of the catalogs would indicate.
I do have a number of, and when we have freebie day, I'll also give you these, set out these catalogs and things where you can send for the catalogs, send for the materials. Contemporary Drama Service is one in Colorado Springs. Resources for Youth Ministry is out of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. That has occasional material in drama. And this is from CSS, Publishing Company in Lima, Ohio. These two are your primary sources of good dramatic material for the church. And they are only, but the only primary sources. Other than that, anytime you see a book in the bookstore, yesterday I stopped in the bookstore, I saw a dramatic, a book on chancel drama that I had never seen before. I sat in the back of the bookstore and read through a couple plays to see whether it's anything I was interested in. Don't just pick up a book because it's on drama, because some of them are very inappropriate to what you want to do. And what you want to do is not necessarily what I want to do, and it has to be comfortable for you. Do not pick a play just because it's about the story of the talents or something, because that's the title of it. Because when you read it, you may not like it at all. So you have to do a lot of reading. I think I spend more time preparing or figuring out what dramatic presentation I want to do than I spend in actually preparing the kids for performance. So, all right, back to the free gift of God, a dialogue on grace. I need another volunteer. You see, that was very safe. Come on up. Why don't we get two people up here, and I'll be the narrator. Come on up. You be I, and you can be I.
I. Yeah, one and two.
What do you want for that item there?
It's not for sale.
What do you mean it's not for sale? Everything's got a price tag.
Nope.
Go on. What are you asking for? $100?
Oh, don't be silly.
All right, $500 then.
No way.
$1,000?
No.
$5,000, my final offer.
It's not for sale, I tell you.
Don't believe this guy. Everything's got its price. Quit being so stubborn.
Tell you what, I'll give it to you for free.
What?
I'd give it to you for free.
Don't kid around with me, guy. I ain't no charity case.
I'd like you to have it, that's all.
Okay, you're on. I'll give you 50.
Oh, please. Don't joke. It's worth much more than that.
Okay, I repeat my offer. Name me a price.
I told you, it's not for sale.
Some business person you are.
Here, you could really use this thing. I'd like to have you have it. Consider it a gift.
What? You're giving it away?
Sure, take it.
Oh no, there must be something wrong with it then. I don't want it.
It's perfectly all right. I just like giving things away.
But if it's worthless...
Not worthless. Priceless. You could never pay for something like this.
Try me. Quote me a figure. We'll work something out.
But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Would that be a good sermon starter?
Yeah. Sure.
Or a discussion starter? Okay. For a ladies' guild meeting? Something like that? Or it could be in the sermon, in the service itself. All right. So these are some things that you could use. All right, this one is called The Search, and this is about from a booklet by Charles Numerich, who was pastor in Chicago for a number of years and did a lot of dramatic type work. This book, by the way, I notice his book is available in the bookstore if anybody would be interested, but it's fairly expensive for but it's a booklet of plays, of number of plays. It's called The Search. Now with this one, I'd like one other person to help me. But I want you to be aware of what's happening here. This sketch takes place in the chancel of the church. As an alternate, this could be done like at an outdoor youth group gathering. All right, this is one that you'd have to be very cautious about this, in the use of it. The audience is seated around, but to the two characters, it's empty. The characters can be either male or female, in fact, variations of sex and age between the two, and the resulting interaction could provide differing productions, indeed a number of different plays. Okay, the first person who comes in and climbs and sits on the altar. Who feels like they're ready to go sit on the altar? Who could handle it? All right. Come on in. Come on up. All right, and I will be part number two. Now, this would be, the congregation would be seated. You would already have several things happening. And this person rambles in and goes up and sits on the edge of the altar. What do you think that you're doing? Well, are you deaf? What are you doing sitting on that altar? You can't do that. This is a place of worship. Don't you know what respect is? Well, I'm certainly waiting for some kind of explanation.
I'm waiting.
Well, you can wait in one of these chairs. The people will be here soon enough.
That's not who I'm waiting for.
Well, who in the world are you waiting for?
Isn't it obvious?
Well, no, I'm afraid it isn't. Who are you waiting for?
God.
Well, can't you just sit in the seat?
Isn't this the spot he comes to?
Well, yes, I guess. No, he's already here.
Where?
Everywhere. God is present everywhere.
I'm waiting for him to come here.
But he's already here. This is his house where people join together and worship God. That's where God is.
You mean like where two or three are gathered?
That's right.
Well, here we are, just the two of us.
Well, yes.
So he must be here right now, right?
Well, I told you he was.
Then he'll help me with my problem.
Well, I'm sure that he'll help you with what, in whatever way he thinks is best.
But he doesn't seem to be helping.
Well.
It's a big problem, hard to solve. I've had it for a long time. Maybe God can't solve it.
Well, he will help you if you ask.
Oh, I've asked.
Well, listen. Why don't you sit down right over there and wait till church starts and worship with us. I'm sure that will help. Maybe the pastor will have time then to talk with you.
I guess I'll just have to keep waiting until God comes.
But I told you, he is already here. And you can't just sit on the altar.
Why not?
Well, it's certainly not proper. People will be coming soon to worship. And we can't have somebody sitting on the altar. We just can't have it. Look, I don't know what your problem is.
That's what I figured.
Well, what do you mean by that?
You're damn right you don't know what my problem is. Do you care?
Well, if you need God's help, I'm sure he'll give it to you in whatever form is best for you.
Do you care what my problem is? I should have known this isn't the place to find God.
Can I help you?
Thank you. okay. What do you think?
Very effective.
Hmm? Pardon me?
Powerful.
Powerful. All right. Again, do not do this as the first thing your church has ever seen in drama. But particularly like at a youth gathering, it could be very effective. Outdoor type thing would be perfect, or you know, something where you're not necessarily using the church. But if your church is more freewheeling and has that kind of a feeling for drama, you might be able to do it very, very well. Okay? Let's see how our time's going here. We're doing fine. Let's see, I have this morality play for two players. Do you like doing this, just reading through some of this material? Is that helpful? Okay, this is one that's based on Matthew 25, Lord, when did we see thee hungry, when did we see thee thirsty, and so on. Some of these, now something like this, if I were doing it, I would really like to also read the scripture on this, possibly breaking that scripture in half. The first part of the scripture reading up to the point where the Lord speaks and says that you were, you know, when I was hungry, you fed me, when I was thirsty, and so on. And then do the play. And then at the conclusion of the play, have the part about, when you saw the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Have that part at the conclusion of the play. Okay, now, again, you have to adapt this. Now, the setting here is a city park with a park bench. Don't get yourself tied strictly to the directions here. Be creative in how you do that. Now, possibly at your church, and every church is different. One of the neat things, by the way, when we were doing this with a touring group with the young people from our church in Park Forest, Illinois, when we do it with the touring group, each church would be so different. And when we get to the church, we'd have to quickly go through, where is everybody going to be? Now, so far, you've just seen a two-person type thing, but you can see that there is a certain amount of, you have to come to a certain amount of agreement on who goes where, where do you enter, where do you exit, don't bump into each other in midstream, and all that sort of thing. So you have to make that adjustment always, the adaptation to the particular location. Okay, so you may have, for example, some of the churches have a double bench for the pastors. That might work out well. You can set it in the center. The current church where we attend is a sort of a in the round type thing, which I feel, in a way, I don't like this real well, because the training for the kids is such that they can just keep moving around in circles and they never learn how to really center out into the audience. But if you have like a long church with the chancel up front, then everybody has to be very careful that even when they're talking this way to each other, they still have to turn sideways and project to the audience. You have to really work on that. That's one of the things that you as a director have to be aware of. They have to always project towards, even if they're talking to somebody up here, they can't turn this way, but they have to talk sideways so that their voices can be heard and still give the idea of talking to that person up there. Okay. All right, but now what are some of the options? Now let's look at what we have here in this setting. We need a park bench, and we need a bum, an older gentleman, a bum, who's sitting on the park bench. I love stools. you don't have a stool. Our church doesn't have a stool like this. I'd love to take this home in my suitcase. And so I bring my kitchen stool, and I use that, you know, which is works out fine. You could have the bum at the beginning of the play. The bum could come in with an assistant. You'd almost need an assistant who would carry some newspapers and the stool. Have the bum sit down. And the assistant could cover him over with newspapers as a starter. And if he drops some, it's no big thing. It just creates a little more debris, okay? Or if they fall off. An alternative to that would be to have the bum come up and have a blanket, a tattered blanket, and just come up and throw the blanket over himself and sit huddled as the opening part, all right? So use your imagination on some of these things. You don't have to follow the rules all that carefully. Okay, how about a woman and a man? And we'll work through this. All right, you will be the lady by obvious persuasion. We have a female bum. Sure, why not? Come on up. I don't know why we should be exclusive in our bums. We can have a female bum as well as a male bum.
Oh.
A bag lady. There you go, you're a bag lady.
A bag lady?
Anybody else? I have one extra here. You're fine? Okay. Sometimes it's better just to watch and not to use your script. By the way, I have a feeling you people have had some previous experience here. You tricked me.
Okay, I'm a Richie type.
Yeah. Do you know who you are now? You are kind of a society lady, at least well-to-do.
Why you insisted on meeting me in this place? Oh, dear. I hate being the first to arrive. Oh, good heavens. It's alive.
Yeah. Huh?
Uh-huh. Really? Oh, it's only a bum.
Is it please? Morning already?
My good man, I realize this is a public park.
Is that where I am?
But would you please excuse us?
Why, what have you done?
I mean, leave.
Us?
I'm expecting someone shortly.
Oh.
A gentleman.
Ah.
We have a meeting scheduled here, an organizational meeting.
Sure, just the two of you, in the park.
Yes, he insisted. Listen, it's none of your business, so why don't you just run along? I'm sure you wouldn't find it at all interesting.
Oh, I don't know, maybe I would.
Well, this is a preliminary planning session to discuss strategies for a major charity drive.
Charity?
Oh, you'd only be in the way. Now go.
Lady, I'm starting to think you don't like me.
On the contrary, my good man. I've devoted my life to helping the poor and underprivileged. Why, the results of our meeting today should eventually be of great benefit to you people.
Happy day. You're here to help me.
Why, yes. I suppose you could say that.
All right, then give.
Don't be so absurd. I don't give handouts to individuals.
But I'm hungry.
Then go to the soup kitchen. See, we have places for people like you.
I thought you said you were going to help me.
I will help you best through the charitable organizations I'm involved with.
You don't really care, do you?
I care. No one in this city cares more than I do about the charities, and I believe in making my money do the most good for the most people. That's why I work through these organizations.
Yeah, I know. You gave at the office.
That is a cheap shot. Why, I can't be stopping for every bum on the street.
Oh, break my heart. So what'll you do instead? Throw us a big charity ball?
Well, that's one of the...
Listen, sister, Charity isn't a ball. It's a sacrifice. It means giving up something important, not throwing sops to the beggars to ease your conscience.
I beg your pardon.
Well, you don't have it.
I don't have to stand for this.
See, you think you're so big-hearted, but you really don't have the stomach for this, do you? You want to do your Christian duty, but you don't want to get your hands dirty. Well, look, lady, you may be rich in rhinestones, but you're poor in spirit.
Are you quite through?
Charity, you, lady, are a miser of the heart. Just who do you think is the truly needy here, sister?
I see. How much do you need? I trust that this will be sufficient.
No.
There. That's all I have.
It's not all you have.
Very well. This ring is worth more than most, let's see, this ring is worth more than most working men would make in a month.
It's not enough.
I gotta be.
There's plenty of time to reconsider the direction.
Shifty.
You people, take, 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 and it's not enough. It's never enough. What do you want?
I told you, charity means giving up something important.
Oh, no.
I want your time.
My time?
I'd just like you to spend a little time with me, that's all. See, it's easy to be charitable from a distance, and people give me things, and that's nice, but their hearts, they don't really see me. They don't seem to have the time.
I spend so much time trying to help these people, and this is the thanks I get.
Wait, ma'am, please. I suppose you give a lot of time to your charity organizations, and, well, thank you. Now, how about giving some time to us? Not working for us, just with us. I think we might learn some things from each other. This morning's a good start. You wanted to meet somebody and organize a new charity anyway. Well, here we are.
Perhaps we get so involved in the cause that we don't see the individual.
I've got a confession to make. I'm a little prejudiced and narrow-minded myself. See, I don't like rich folks. As a class, I figure they're all ignorant snobs. But I may be wrong. In fact, I think I am wrong. For instance, you're not an ignorant snob, are you? Oh, listen. I've come into a bit of money lately. Do you have time for lunch? My treat.
Well, you know, I've been thinking. With a close shave and a good suit, you could look quite presentable.
Good enough to pass as high society. Careful now. You'll start seeing bums as though they may be gentlemen. And who knows where that may lead.
Oh!
All right, you can understand that if she's a bag lady, you have to change a line or two there to straighten that out. We don't want to be shaving our ladies. I really appreciated, despite the problem, of course, that you have of reading the directions and so on as you go along, some of your attempts at gestures and so on. You can understand that with a formal presentation of something like this, by the way, the title of this is Charity Case, but it got split into two parts, so it's Charity Case. That as you would be practicing this, you would certainly get a lot of motion into this, you know, with the woman striding back and forth, you know, and gesturing and so on, and the man would be sometimes on the stool, sometimes off, and various things of that nature. But that is, you know, all part of directing to help people. Now, some people are very, very good at this. You know, when you're working, for example, my working with teenagers, some of them are just natural, and they will walk around and, you know, feel very comfortable. Others will stand like sticks up there, and you have to say, okay, now, when you say this, you stand here, you know, and then when you get to this part, you walk over to the corner, and you say that. And then you can come over and stand behind the stool at this point. And when you're talking with people, working with people who are new at this, you may have to direct them that way. But if you've got a freewheeler, let them do it. Let them be comfortable in what they're doing. And give them guidance, of course, but let them, you'll get a more comfortable performance. But don't feel funny about guiding someone if they're a first timer in guiding them, showing them exactly what you want them to do, because you'll be amazed. Maybe that play they'll be still sort of stiff. Next time around, that same person, you know, will really start to move. Also, getting your actors to feel comfortable, especially if they have to be in a position for a period of time where they don't have a lot to say, you know. There are a few things that they do. One is they'll pull their arms. And the other is that they'll rock. Now, they don't notice it at all, but it's very obvious, you know, this footwork business, and some of them will just bounce. Okay, you have to alert them to that. This always puts a distance between them and the congregation. Now, if that's the thing that you want to present in that person, fine. Otherwise, give them alternatives. This is good. Hands behind the back, they feel good about that. Hands at your sides is always good. A lot of kids particularly don't. That's not enough. This is their favorite. Two things I don't allow. One is chewing gum, one is hands in the pockets. All I have to do is point at any of my players, and they're immediately checking, you know, what am I doing? You know, hands in the pockets, out, or gum, swallow. So those two things are absolute no's. Let's see, another comfortable position is this. One arm isn't bad. Or like this, depending on what they're portraying, are one arm up, one arm down. And let them give those variations so that they can switch around and still feel comfortable in the various things. You notice I keep saying when you are directing these things. Did you notice that? Do you get the clue that I'm trying to encourage you to go home with this and do something with it? That really is, and I'm talking to you girls too back there. For you guys to grab hold of a group and do something like this, because there are those opportunities. Just a little minimal wrap-up here. I am a strong believer in minimal props and costuming. I am not big into lighting. I'm not big into lots of costumes, anything like that. Anything that will give the impression. If you're doing a story about good and evil, dress good in white and evil in black. Something like that. If you are, if it has something to do, we did one on Martin Luther, and we used a black robe for Martin Luther and a couple of his cohorts. And Martin Luther's students, who in our situation, we didn't have enough boys for students, so we had girls. And we introduced those students ahead of time and gave them, let the audience know what their male names were. And we had three of the most beautiful girl students you ever saw in your life in the congregation. Got a little chuckle out of it when they were introduced, but bought into it as soon as they, you know, had the concept there. They could visualize that. And then we had, and the girls were dressed in white shirts and black slacks as students. And then we had two maids and they were dressed in black skirts and white blouses, and then had little red aprons. And that was as much as I've ever done in costuming. And just like using the stool, I like to use minimal type props. Of course, now that last play, you'd need some props. You'd need the jewelry and the money and something to carry it in and so on. So, of course, you have to use your head with that. I like to use the entire church as much as possible. That involves people in it. I like to use a lot of movement. And if I were directing that last play, I'd get you know, the two ladies who were doing it to move around quite a bit. And no matter how many people you have, they have to stay totally involved in what is going on. Ordinarily, I have not used microphones. Most churches are not that large, but what you cannot train the persons involved to project their voices. And one of the ways that you can help them, I mean, well, of course, first of all, you can't have people who are speaking very quietly like this. They have to raise their voices. And you have to start with that right away. Get that pitch raised so that it can be projected. And even in whispering, "I want to tell you a story," it has to be projected. But you can help people a lot by working with phrasing. In other words, instead of talking rapidly and never having a pause and keep on going like this, because it's very hard to listen to, you get them to break up their sentences so that it becomes a lot easier. And you may have a motor mouth who has a hard time doing that. And if you want to really drive them crazy, you make them speak with you. "Come on now, Alice, I want you to say this line with me." And you say it as I am speaking now. And it drives them nuts, but they do get the idea. And also with movement, you get them to move in between phrases, get their movement in with the phrases so that if they... Most young people particularly, and I'm sure adults as well, would like to, when they've memorized something, they want to say it all at once and get over with it. And so you have to tell them, all right, you say the first part of the sentence, then move, and then say the second part of the sentence. And that is helpful to them. So there are lots of little tricks like that to the trade. I'm going to conclude now. Now, tomorrow we meet at 2:45. I'll mention that again. And we will be talking about Christmas programs and using some trying to put together some new ideas as far as how can you energize your Christmas program. So if you have anything special to add to that, by all means, we'll look for your participation. And remember that we are looking forward to putting together some kind of a presentation. I see that I have some excellent people here who could do a good job, and we'll talk about that tomorrow.